With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
We're allowed to do, per NFL rule, a little bit more from a offense versus defense standpoint. You know, and we're allowed to do some other things via NFL rules that we're not allowed to do this time of year.
Mike Danger.
The vets come to town for organized team activities. What are you going to be paying attention to?
Gene Battaglia.
So Richie Incognito released from the reserve retired list. If Incognito were to unretire, then he's a free agent. He can go sign wherever he likes.
Cavs hosting the Celtics. Game 4.
The clock to triple zeros. 111 to 102. Cleveland with the victory, and we head back to Boston tied at 2 apiece.
If this goes 7 games, I don't think the Cavs win a game 7 in Boston. Okay. I don't think this supporting cast in Cleveland this year would show up for a game 7.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we have the Eastern Conference final, Tampa Bay with a chance to eliminate the Washington Capitals.
The far side, Heldon Beagle. I'm at Stevenson. Centers it! Shot score, Smith-Pelly! And the Caps are able to make the steal, and Smith-Pelly makes it 2-0.
Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Good afternoon. Pull up a stool and join us. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia is open for business, and we appreciate you stopping by however you may be listening this afternoon on AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester, our home online, ESPNRochester.com. You can also listen to us on your device. Just download the free radio.com app, search out ESPN Rochester, and listen to us anywhere, anytime. Mike Danger, along with Gene Battaglia.
Dude, how are you today?
I'm well, man. That soundbite of Smith-Pelly scoring Washington's second goal last night. I don't know how much of the game you watched last night, Gene. I caught a good chunk of the second period before I had to turn in, but what I noticed about that game and the difference in that game, that you could tell Washington was a desperate team. Washington was manhandling Tampa Bay last night. I mean, just the physical nature. And Smith-Pelly specifically, there was a hit that he laid on a guy, a Tampa Bay player, took out the Tampa Bay player, took out the Washington player that the Tampa Bay player was engaged with at the same time. He took out 2-for-1. I mean, it was just physical, physical hockey last night. I loved every second that I was able to watch.
You know, well, how much I got to watch last night. Last night was our trivia night at Champs. And everybody was out for basketball. I got to be honest. Nobody's coming out to see the Washington Capitals, Tampa Bay Lightning. It was all LeBron, the Celtics. So we had the sound up on that. So watching two things at once, Danger, was a great night to watch. But from what I saw in regards to the hockey, it seemed like the opening script, at least the first 20 minutes, first 30 minutes of that game, my gosh, this is Washington throwing everything at Tampa Bay, and we're still scoreless here. Is this how Tampa Bay is going to sneak out of this with a win? The way I look at this, hey, Tampa, you blew it. That was your chance. And Callahan talked about it after the game, too. Like, you got to match that intensity. You weren't ready for that? This was your chance to close out Washington. You left the door open. Now it goes to a game 7.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that game 7 is being awarded to the horrible fans of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I remember the reaction after game 2 and everybody leaving that arena early, and it looked like that series was over. Just fair weather bandwagon type fans, and now they get a game 7 with everything to play for. I'm not rooting against Tampa Bay. I'm not crazy about Tampa Bay fans after what I saw in game 2, how silent it was in that arena during game 2 when they were just kind of shell-shocked. I think they went in a little overconfident as a fan base. I'm still not gonna pull against Ryan Callahan. I'm still pulling for Tampa Bay to win that game 7. But they're going to have to figure out a way to match that physicality of Washington, because Washington just put it on them. And that first goal by Oshie last night, just a perfectly executed screen on a power play. You know, just, God, I love watching hockey when it's just executed to perfection. And you saw Washington play at a different level last night, both physically and they were crisp. They were just a more intense hockey team last night. Can't wait for Game 7.
I want to go back to that comment you made about Tampa Bay fans, though. Is there a worse sports city? You might, in America today, you might make the case for Atlanta. But today in Tampa, are there more Lightning fans or fans of add everybody else up? I would say probably fans of add everybody else up between the Rangers or Leafs, whatever. It is, to say a transient city would be to state the obvious, but gosh, take a look at what's going on down there. The Rays shouldn't exist. You had their all-time greatest player, Evan Longoria, saying the team should move. Well, it doesn't seem like anybody's outraged over that. Imagine somebody like that saying that about a team from Buffalo. We'd want heads to roll. Well, not the case in Tampa. Nobody can argue that. And the Buccaneers, well, it's the NFL. People will come out. But even that, there's not a passionate fan base down there. So do I want Tampa to win? Yes, because of Ryan Callahan, but that's the only reason. Mike Danger, again, I am someone who admits, and I feel like I'm alone on this because people were approaching me last night saying, what, are you crazy pulling for Ovechkin? No, I'm not crazy. He's completely, his image is completely gone 180 in my mind. From an athlete I didn't care for to somebody that now I put in that Ray Bourque class, somebody that I want to win a championship. And maybe it's not this year, but this is the farthest that he's gotten. And if you don't feel anything for Alex Ovechkin should they lose in Game 7, then I don't know if you can feel anything at all, but I know you disagree with me.
I'm dead inside, so I just need a little bit longer. Yeah, I'm not ready there. I'm not ready to say, oh yeah, I'm emotionally pulling for Alex Ovechkin to get over. I'm not there yet. Not yet. Maybe I get there someday, but not yet. If he makes it to the final, it's a nice story. And I'd pull for Vegas.
What?
Yeah. I would pull for Vegas in that instance. I'll pull for Tampa Bay if they make the final. But Vegas is, my heart, again, my head would be pulling for Tampa Bay. My heart would be like, oh, Vegas is a good story. That's a nice story.
And part of it's sadistic because so many people will make money and it will be ironically the one time where Vegas wins. Yeah. When we say Vegas, we're referring to the other Vegas. The other Vegas is going to lose big.
Just getting killed.
Oh, my gosh.
Just getting killed. Got a good show lined up for you today. Ooh, Bills OTA is starting today, Gino.
Yeah, so OTA is not open to the media today, tomorrow. Open to the media Thursday. So we've kind of, whatever we see and learn Thursday, we've got to kind of keep it in that context. In other words, if Josh Allen doesn't take the majority reps Thursday, well, we don't know exactly what happened Tuesday and Wednesday. So that's the disclaimer we throw out. But it's a good time to catch up with our buddy Sal Capaccio, who will join us live from Buffalo in the 4 o'clock hour today to get us updated on what is happening out at One Bills Drive.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what position battles. Maybe it's way too early to start talking about this, but there will be some position battles this offseason heading into training camp. And I'm curious as to what Sal's going to be looking at. Which ones are most intriguing to him?
No, it's not too early. Because when we're this is the joy of training camp, right? If you're into training camp, you want to discover that player who's going to make the 53. Last year was Eddie Yarbrough. All right, who's it going to be this year? I can't tell you that. We might learn along the way here when it comes to minicamp. Certainly seems like the wide receiver position is wide open.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on Austin Prohl. And I don't know a lot about, I didn't break down any of Austin Prohl's college film, and I was probably like a lot of you, Bills fans, just kind of scratching your head at that selection at the end of the draft. I was like, Austin Prohl?
Well,
is that Ricky Prohl's kid?
Yeah, and in the connection there, Sean McDermott, Ricky Prohl was on the Carolina staff. Well, if you had that strong a connection, why couldn't you sign him as a street free agent? But whatever. You spent the 7th round pick, and obviously you like him. Well, in a competition that is that wide open, who's the third down receiver on this team? When it's 3rd and 7, who do you go to, Danger?
Well, right now, I would say in the slot, it's probably Jeremy Curley, right? You have Jeremy Curley in the slot. But you drafted two wide receivers in Ray and in Prohl. And something about Prohl, I'm not going to discount that pickup of Prohl through the draft. because of his wiring, because of his DNA, because of where he comes from. I'm not saying he's going to be Christian McCaffrey-like, but I like the odds of a player coming into the NFL having somebody that close to you, having your dad be somebody who had to go through exactly what you're about to go through. Ricky Prohl wasn't anything to brag about on a call. I mean, that guy was a fighter. He just battled. He was gritty.
Wasn't he the beneficiary, though? You had Holton Bruce and that Marshall Faulk and everybody else. And then, oh, look, there's Ricky Prohl wide open. Nobody's going to double team that guy. Right?
Right. Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. I'll go back to Christian McCaffrey for a second. And we all saw what he did in Stanford, and he looked every bit the prospect that they drafted in Carolina this last year. And I would expect that his production will only increase now that Jonathan Stewart is out of the mix. But if you just look at the DNA, the wiring, the makeup, the upbringing, I mean, what do you remember about his old man, Ed? When Ed McCaffrey was playing in the NFL, he was scrappy. That dude was tough. That dude fought. That dude worked. And I kind of feel the same way about Ricky Prohl from his days playing, whether it was with the Rams, whether it was with the Panthers. I just remember that name. That guy's a pest.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Austin Prohl is going to live up to that kind of expectation that his old man set for him, but you spent some draft capital on him. You spent some draft capital on him. You didn't break the bank, obviously, but you did spend a draft pick on him. Why? I'm going to pay attention to that one. Is he what they want in that slot? Is he the guy that could push Jeremy Curley to play at a level we haven't seen Jeremy Curley play at in some time? Or is he just going to be the guy that takes Jeremy Curley's gig?
There's another name in that wide receiver battle I'm interested in. And sometimes we overlook things that might have happened last year because they don't seem new to us. And I get what you're saying about Prohl, and that's the new thing. And no, I'm not referring to Brandon Riley. Brandon Riley is going to be a darling in camp. I understand that. And people will be following him too. I'm going to go to somebody else that, in my opinion, and I've talked to people, he would have made the 53. He does not have that pedigree. In fact, he's a guy that had to start JUCO. In fact, right down the street here, practically, Alfred State. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Rod Streeter. Rod Streeter had a great camp. Was catching passes from Nate Peterman. It was a lot of fun. And then he got hurt in the toe. But the thing I remember about that wasn't a typical, oh, here's your camp injury getting carted off. The whole team went around him. That's how much everybody fell for the guy. So here he is coming back, and you want him to finish off the story. And again, you want to root for a good story? I'm rooting for that guy to make the 53. And I think he's got as good a shot as anybody to get one of those 5-6 spots that might be available. It is wide open. 454-ESPN is our number, 454-3776.
What about the offensive line? You know, there are some battles that you're going to be paying attention to there, right? There's a battle at center. We keep hearing about Marshall Newhouse.
Yeah, that seemed like one of those, all right, it's not quite a street free agent, but let's bring the guy in, and he's starting the league. Feels almost like Vlad Dukas, somebody that has some years of NFL experience on his resume, but has never stood out, but he's the guy that is mentioned to challenge right tackle Jordan Mills. And Jordan Mills is still here. He's still here, Danger. So right tackle it's not a very sexy competition, though, right now. Is that fair to say between Mills and Newhouse? I'm not excited about that.
Not really.
No.
The rookie.
Wyatt Teller. Wyatt Teller, they drafted him.
Something about Wyatt Teller as well. Like, there's, again, I'm not suggesting that the Bills just start all rookies on the offensive side of the ball, but these are the guys I want to see what the Bills saw. I want to see why they thought they were worth the draft picks that they were worth, and Wyatt Teller is one of those guys. What kind of an offensive lineman are you getting in Wyatt Teller? And my curiosity comes really, I mean, we spoke with Harrison Phillips last week. And after speaking to him, didn't you get the sense that this is the kind of guy that they are actively pursuing, that Bean and McDermott are actively pursuing to make up this roster, this culture change that they're going through. You eliminate guys like Richie Incognito, and you bring in guys like Wyatt Teller, just, you know, different personalities, different kind of work ethic, different kind of attitude. There's something to those guys that they selected, and you would hope that you would see that return on the field as soon as this week in OTAs.
Well, Wyatt Teller, for being a fifth-round pick, he's still, at the end of the day, Danger, is a fifth-round pick. There's a reason why he fell there. So I don't think he's somebody that you could automatically pencil in at one of the starting guard. He would have to really impress, or there would be the unfortunate circumstance of injury. That being said, you have need depth. What depth is there on this offensive line right now? Who's a backup to Deion Dawkins? We haven't even talked about that. We're just like assuming Dawkins is going to improve on his rookie season. Second year, he's going to be great at left tackle. A lot of assumptions on this offensive line right now. It is an area of need for sure. So, again, opportunity there for Wyatt Teller just because there's no depth.
Sal Capaccio will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. So we'll get a sense for what Sal's going to be looking at later this week when media has access before Thursday's practice. What do these changes to the offensive line mean? Now you have officially let go of Richie Incognito. We still haven't heard what's going on with Eric Wood. He's retired, but it hasn't been made official yet by the team. Russell Bodine. Wyatt Teller. I mean, you know, Marshall Newhouse, all these guys, what do we know about them? And what kind of camp battles can we expect?
Yeah, Dukas against Miller, who's got the upper hand there? Are there any other camp battles, so to speak, whether it's at linebacker, Vontae Davis, do we pencil him in? Are there any contenders to unseat Davis at the one corner position? So, it's a good time because, to me, we're all going to have a little bit of downtime, Danger. Memorial Day weekend, right? Holiday weekend starting up. I'm already thinking about things. I'm thinking about the Rib Fest. I'm thinking about things I'm going to watch on TV, the NBA playoffs. It's going to be a fun weekend. And got a little extra time to do a little reading. Yeah, that's a good time to kind of sit down and figure out, all right, how's this Buffalo Bills roster shaping up? Because if you're like me, I like to try to figure out who's going to make the roster ahead of time. And that way you kind of get a baseline of who might be going up, who might be going down. It's a good time to catch up with Sal. A terrible revelation out of Syracuse where we learned that former Orange tight end Chris Gedden, he passed a couple months ago. We never got a cause of death. And tonight in HBO's Real Sports, it's going to be disclosed that he took his own life battling with depression. And to me, Danger, it's one of those stories you hate talking about, but football is so important right now. And we're going to talk to the correspondent in a little bit here that did the story on that CTE settlement and what is in it, and I guess more importantly, what is not in that CTE settlement for the players.
John Frankel, HBO Sports, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, which you can see tonight, 10 o'clock on HBO. John is a Real Sports correspondent. John Frankel, also personal friends with Chris Gedney. So this story hits close to home. And before we get him on, we're not going to go into any of the details surrounding the death of Chris Gedney, but we are going to talk about that settlement, that CTE settlement.
Whoa.
It feels incomplete.
Well, what John did, our guest coming up here, he sat down with the lead attorney on this that was representing the players. And if I have this right, Danger, depression isn't part of this?
Which is, I see both sides. I really see both sides. Here's why I see both sides. Because I would be willing to bet any former NFL player at one time or another post retirement has battled at least a bout of depression. That may not be related to CTE. It may just be related to, I'm depressed. I've lost my purpose. I don't really know. I mean, we've talked to former athletes who just don't have that same, you can hear it in their voice. They don't have the same life, the same spirit that they had when they were playing. And that's partially, I think, because the thing that you know, the thing that you've worked so hard for so long, the thing that gave you purpose in life, or at least one of the things that gave you purpose in life, is no longer a part of your life. And you try to find things to fill that void, and you find time and time again, it just doesn't come close to what you're looking for. Hence the depression sets in. And I think every professional athlete post-retirement probably goes through that. So if you're looking for a settlement and you include depression, well, you'd have to settle with every former player in the NFL, even though depression is a symptom of CTE.
Is it a symptom or the symptom? In other words, is that the first indicator? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm asking questions, wanting to learn more about this story. And for John Franklin, as you mentioned, Danger, this is going to hit home for him. We are not going to go into any details out of respect for John and out of respect for the Gedney family about what happened. But I don't know. It seems like to me mental health is something we don't talk about at all. There's a stigma to it. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's something you push away in the corners. It's something you're supposed to tough out. Isn't that what this story is really about here?
Yeah, I think it's hard to talk about because it's not the same for everybody. Some people battle with it and will always battle with it. Some people can battle it, overcome it. Some people see their lives come to an untimely end.
Well, see, that's the problem I have with the story. We understand CTE when we see Justin Strelzik driving down the wrong way on the thruway and taking his own life. We feel terrible. We understand. What's difficult to understand is about mental health is, well, my gosh, this man had it all. He had a job in broadcasting, and he had a loving family, and, well, it doesn't show up the same way. You're not going to have all these players having showing the symptoms in the same way. That's what makes mental health so tricky to talk about and so hard to kind of diagnose.
Well, after speaking with the attorney who represented the players for this CTE settlement with the NFL, John Frankel put together a nice piece for HBO's Real Sports, which airs tonight at 10 o'clock with Bryant Gumbel. He joins us next. John Frankel joins us next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. We'll discuss that segment and more. Stay on with us here. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. ESPN Rochester.
The voice of the Bills, John Murphy, and Bills Wall of Famer, Steve Tasker, give you all the latest news from One Bills Drive. One Bills Live is your home for exclusive interviews, live updates, and in-depth NFL analysis. Murph and Tasker take you inside the locker and down on the sideline to keep you up to date with everything Bills. Right here, noon to 3, on the home of the Buffalo Bills. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. From the field to the court to the rink, get your sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Looking forward to a new episode of HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel tonight at 10 o'clock. John Frankel is a correspondent for HBO's Real Sports, joining us now in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Yeah, and so our listeners know in advance here, you know, what you're going to watch tonight. We are not on the show going to go into any details regarding the death of former Syracuse tight end Chris Gedney, out of respect to the Gedney family. And John, frankly, out of respect to you, to say in the piece tonight, John, you mentioned that Chris is a friend of yours. John, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. Thank you guys for taking an interest in covering this with us.
Well, yeah, I mean, it hits a little close to home. I mean, you know, I think a lot of Syracuse football fans remember Chris, hearing his name mentioned in this piece tonight, and getting more into the NFL's concussion settlement. What exactly, John, is covered or not covered in this settlement when it comes to mental health?
The biggest thing here is, look, when we set out to do this, we've been covering the NFL settlement since it was announced back in 2013. And we've obviously done a number of stories over the years on Real Sports about the players who have suffered the consequences of head trauma and brain injuries and such. And so when we embarked on this, it was to explore, okay, who's getting paid and who's not getting paid. And we know that at the top of the food chain, if you will, those with the most severe illnesses, those who have been diagnosed with ALS, those who died with CTE, were getting paid, and to this point have gotten the bulk of the money that's been paid out, about $180 million so far. But there's a great many players who are being shut out, guys who have been diagnosed not just by certified doctors and approved under various other disability programs that are in place with the NFL, but are receiving Social Security payments for brain injuries. And then, you know, they were told 5 years ago when the settlement was announced that, look, you bring your paperwork forward, and this will be fairly straightforward and fairly easy, and you'll get paid. And a lot of these guys who have different forms of dementia, Alzheimer's and such, are not getting their claims. And what's happening is, again, so people understand, there's the NFL, there is Chris Seeger, who represented the plaintiffs, in this case the players, in this class action suit. Those two sides agreed upon a third party, an independent party, and a law firm that has done work like this before to basically be the arbiters and the administrators over the settlement. So when a player is denied, they are not being denied by the NFL. They are being denied by this third party. However, the NFL has the right to appeal claims, and there have been instances where players have been approved, and then the NFL has appealed, and, you know, then sometimes that decision doesn't come down.
Joining us on the phone is John Frankel. He will watch his piece tonight. HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel debuts at 10 o'clock tonight. John, is depression covered in this settlement?
You went right to the heart of the issue here for a lot of these guys. So, obviously, at the top of this, we've got CTE, right? The problem with that everybody acknowledges is that CTE is not, you cannot diagnose CTE in somebody while they're living. Nobody knows whether they have CTE until the end game. There are two sides that are symptoms, essentially, of CTE. One is the cognitive issues, if you will, and that's executive function and decision making and so forth. And then there are their behavioral issues, which brings up rage, impulse control, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, suicide ideation. Those things that I just mentioned, which fall under behavioral issues, are not recognized under the settlement agreement. So essentially, CTE is not covered. And the twist on that is that if you talk to doctors, as we did in this piece, and neuropsychologists, all of those things that I just mentioned, those symptoms, are diagnosable. Right? There's no question. There's no debate in the medical field as to whether you can diagnose depression or PTSD, and et cetera, and suicide ideation and such. And while those all line up as symptoms and seem to be fairly clear representations of CTE, because you cannot officially be diagnosed with CTE until you die, that is off the table. Mm. So essentially, there's a lot of guys out there who have these issues, and they're not being recognized. And the behavioral issues tend to present, particularly in younger guys, you finished a career at 30, 35, those behavioral issues tend to surface and present much earlier than the cognitive issues do. So even though these guys may have all these issues, they're not getting recognized, and therefore they're cut out of the settlement.
John, I'm not. I think it's unbelievable what you've unearthed here. The idea that the symptoms that do lead to CTE aren't covered in this settlement. I guess my first question would be: well, what exactly is getting paid out in this settlement? What kind of conditions are getting paid out in this settlement? And the other thing I was going to bring up, and this is touchy, but I imagine that the more professional athletes you speak to post-retirement, that I would say the vast majority of them have probably gone through some sort of depression after their playing days are done because of that void that's now left in their head, you know, from not playing the sport that they've played, devoted their entire life to. Would that be somewhat accurate? I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that depression isn't a symptom that's covered in this settlement.
So it gets very complicated, and it's very gray. So that there are, and I don't mean to dodge your question here, that there are guys that we talk to, like a Ronnie LaPet, who played with the New England Patriots for a number of years in the 80s and 90s, and he's got some depression issues and such, and clinically diagnosed, and even discusses some suicide ideation. Now, he does get some disability under a different form of compensation from the NFL. And just so people are clear, that there are obviously other disability programs that pay guys certain stipends. There's also total and permanent disability, which is, I believe, what Ronnie LaPet gets now as a result for being diagnosed with being depressed. And the other thing that to keep in mind here, and this is why it also gets complicated, is that causation was not part of the settlement, so that you didn't need to prove that you are depressed or clinically depressed or have suicide ideation because you played football in the NFL. You merely needed to be able to say that, okay, I've been diagnosed with this. Doesn't mean some guy off the street who says he's depressed can go to the NFL. But you've played in the NFL and you've been diagnosed with depression. So then that would qualify you for some form of disability. But you don't have to make the connection and prove that football caused my depression. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I follow
it a little bit. I mean, I hope I didn't make that too confusing. And so again, if I can clarify, there was a program that was set up, and this is as a result of John Mackey, and it was called the 88 Plan. And under the 88 Plan, certain guys that qualify, guys that have Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, can go to the league with, you know, paperwork from a certified doctor. And if they're approved, they can get compensation for that. That is not a lump sum check written to a player. Those have to be receipts that are covering legitimate health expenses. It can be a home, a caregiver at the house. It can be getting to and from doctors, et cetera, et cetera. And you submit those legitimate receipts, and then the NFL will reimburse the player for those receipts. So when there are certain instances, and we've talked to a couple of the players that are in the piece, guys like a Scott Brantley, who played for the Tampa Bay Bucks and has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So he receives money under the 88 plan. He's covered in one form of disability. And he was told by Chris Seager, the lead plaintiff, who told this to all the players, not Scott specifically. And he said, you will not have a tough time getting compensated for this. So with the very same paperwork that Scott Brantley was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and receives compensation under the 88 plan, that very same paperwork that he submitted and was entitled to submit under this settlement, that third party, that independent party that is administering the settlement fund said, nope, you don't qualify. Mm. So a player is left there scratching his head. So wait a minute, you told me, you're already giving me money because you think that I've got this disease and because I collect Social Security on it. And yet under the settlement, you're telling me I don't qualify? It doesn't add up. And so a lot of these guys who are expecting this to be a fairly easy process are getting denied by the panel that administers the settlement. And one of the things that the NFL will say in its defense is, look, we think that the fraud is, I may be overstating it, but they're going to say that the fraud is rampant here, that there are lawyers, there are doctors, and in some cases players who are scheming together. And either the players aren't as sick as they say they are, or the lawyers and the doctors are in cahoots together, and everybody's looking for, to grab some of the treasure.
Well, I can absolutely, I can understand the NFL's complaint there, because that's my point exactly. You know, every player could probably come out and say after they're done playing, yeah, I suffer from depression, and get that diagnosis. I mean, you mentioned, I think the figure was $180 million has so far been paid out in this settlement. You know, again, I'm curious as to who's seeing that $180 million and how much. I mean, $180 million for the NFL feels like a drop in the bucket. How much more could the NFL be giving out to people who legitimately need that money? Just to go about their day.
Well, let's go back to the original settlement when it was announced 5 years ago, and it was $765 million was the amount that they came to, and then that there was a lot of criticism that wasn't going to be enough money to last the 65 years that this settlement sets out, right? So that players for the next 65 years, former players, can, if they have registered in time. As part of this class action suit, if they've registered in time, they are then able to say, hey, in 10 years, oh, now I'm feeling the effects. Okay? So the judge in the case, Judge Brody, said, there's not enough money in here. So the two sides got back together and said, okay, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, the 765 was not a cap number, but became an uncapped number. So now the NFL is on the hook for an endless amount. Bottomless barrel. And at the time that they made the announcement, Chris Siegler, who represented the players in this, acknowledged that this was now going to open up a situation where the NFL, and this is one of the things that he agreed to in this settlement, that the NFL was going to be able to appeal, and to there was room for certain claims to be audited. And he said the NFL is going to take that opportunity the max. And maybe it would have been different. Maybe you could argue that maybe it would have been better for the players if there was actually a finite number. If they had stayed with the $765 million and the NFL understood its exposure and accepted that amount of risk in the settlement, then maybe every player could have, who was legitimate, filing legitimate claims, could have said, look, here's the proof. I've been diagnosed with this. I also collect Social Security and such for the same diseases. Payment. And maybe the NFL at that point would have said, sure, here's your amount. We've slotted this amount. This is what we agreed on in the settlement, that anybody who's got Alzheimer's is going to get this much. Anybody who's got depression is going to get this much. But now with an uncapped amount, the NFL, it appears, is scrapping and clawing to try and control its costs.
John Frankel is a correspondent with HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, the new episode at 10 o'clock tonight. And in this new episode, you will see John sit down with Chris Seeger, who is that lead attorney who settled with the NFL players in terms of this concussion settlement. John, what was your sense? Is the attorney at peace with this settlement, or when you were questioning him, do you sense he has any regrets?
Chris, I think, would say that he has regrets that it's not. Let me step back. He thinks the settlement is working, and so does the judge. And they think that there were some startup issues, and there's no question about that. That in the beginning it was a little bit slower, but he thinks now the system is finding its footing, and the payments are moving out at a faster rate. There are players who would argue with that and haven't seen a dime. But I think that overall, he is pleased. He acknowledges that he had to make concessions to make this work. And some of those might have been involved the CTE issues. Some of them are, for instance, that they picked a rather, and seems what to be an arbitrary window for those who died with CTE. So you had to have died between 2006 and 2015 in order to collect on CTE. And if you didn't, then you're out of luck. Mm. And that leads us to the family of Mike Webster. And Mike Webster, as you guys know, was the first diagnosed case of CTE. Maybe somebody else would have been diagnosed and we'd be at the same point today, but there are many, including Mike's family, that would say there's no lawsuit and there's no settlement without Mike Webster having been diagnosed with CTE. And he died in 2002. So because of this arbitrary, what appears to be an arbitrary window, Mike Webster's family is cut out. And I think Seeger, he acknowledged that he feels bad about that. and he hopes that they're going to get some form of payment. How that's going to happen, I don't know, for the Webster family.
That's a great story. I mean, you guys are really doing some amazing work there at HBO's Real Sports. John Frankel, correspondent for Real Sports, joining us here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, a new episode tonight at 10 o'clock as they dive into the CTE settlement between the NFL and its players. Now, John, the football isn't the only sport that has a CTE issue. I think we align football with CTE so much, and it grabs so many of the headlines, and we've seen so many of the stories and so many of the tragic losses. We've also seen other players, former NHL players, take their own lives. Earlier, Real Sports covered issues surrounding the NHL and concussions and lack of action around concussions in the NHL. We're going to play you, if you have a second and you bear with us, it's a soundbite from a former Buffalo Sabre, Patrick Coletta, who's called in on the show with us here in the Sports Bar a handful of times. Earlier this year, he actually talked about the battle he's going through. Patrick Coletta in the Sports Bar. This is in March of this year. Take a listen to this, John.
Health-wise right now, it's probably just with my neck stuff the past little while. It's probably been the worst I've been in a little while. I'm not afraid to tell you that or whoever else is, you know, listening. And it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing where I'm personally the type of player who would do something for anybody else. I'd be more than happy to break my face for a block shot to win a game or whatever the case may be. So I've dealt with injuries, and I've dealt with the mentality of having to deal with those sort of things. So I always go back to you know, some of the major injuries I've had and the sports psychologist that I worked with and some of the things that we worked on to not fall in that depression, not to fall into that the crevice that's pretty hard to get out.
John, where do you think things are headed in the National Hockey League? Could we have a situation very similar to what the NFL is encountering right now?
Absolutely. Obviously, there is a difference in that in football, hitting is inherently part of the game. Some would say that might be true of the NHL, but that's not really true, right? I mean, you don't have to tackle somebody to stop the progress. That's not the game as it's designed. But there certainly have been, a great number of players in the NHL who have suffered these consequences, whether they be from hits or from fighting, checking, and such. I think, and I'm left puzzled, given what the NFL has gone through, that I'm puzzled by the stand that Gary Bettman and his colleagues at the NHL are taking towards CTE and brain trauma and the connection to playing in the NHL. You know what they say, it's never the crime, it's the cover-up. And given that the folks at the NFL have finally come around to acknowledging that there is a connection and that there is an issue to be dealt with, I'm surprised that the NHL is still taking the position that there isn't enough medical evidence to suggest that there is a connection. And I understand it. He has a fiduciary responsibility to his league, but you know that you're going to pay one day or the other. So it seems to me you take a page out of the NFL's book and get ahead of it and figure it out. And by the way, you might ultimately save yourself some money because then at least you're on the record, and you don't face the legal repercussions. You could then say, look, anybody who's playing the game today knows full well when they sign a contract that they are understanding the decisions and choices that they're making. So I think the NHL is going to have a problem, maybe not to the same magnitude that the NFL does, again, just because of the nature of the game. But it would seem to me, and I'm no legal expert, and so I'm sure they're getting great legal advice, but I would get ahead of it rather than be trying to chase it down the way that it's happened in the NFL.
Tonight, a new episode of Real Sports with Brian Gumbel on HBO, 10 o'clock. Our guest has been correspondent John Frankel. John, one last question. I mean, we're talking about CTE and settlements and lawyers. Is there a bigger question here? In other words, does this speak to the way we view or the way we we should improve our view when it comes to depression or mental health in our country. Can we be doing a better job? Is this something we should be talking about more in our society?
Without a doubt. I don't have to think about that for a second. And I think that applies to athletes who live in the fishbowl and to the second grader at your elementary school, that the stigma of mental illness, and we've made progress over the years, but we have to chip away at it more so that people understand that, yes, it's easy to see if I have a broken leg, I wear a cast. But you can't see that there's something wrong with my mind because I'm not wearing something on my head. And I think that we, as time goes forward, we will continue to understand more and accept that people have issues, whether they were born with them or they were brought on by the fact that they played a certain sport and suffered the consequences of playing that sport. And so without a doubt, I think we need to be more understanding, and I think we will be as we learn more and more and become more accepting of it in all sports and in life.
Great piece tonight, John. Really appreciate the work you're doing to further that discussion. HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, 10 o'clock tonight on HBO. John Frankel has been joining us here in the Sports Bar, correspondent for HBO's Real Sports. John, really, really appreciate the work you're doing, and thank you so much for carving out some time out of your day to speak with us here.
Mike, Gene, thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
You got it. John Frankel.
Thank you, John.
Great stuff.
Wow.
Happiness is something that I think people think that just shows up, that it's coming to me. It's coming to me. It's earned. Happiness is earned. And you find that happiness through a sense of purpose. Purpose leads to satisfaction. Satisfaction leads to happiness. And if you're a professional athlete and your purpose is one day taken away from you, well, the challenge then is to find that new purpose in life, that new thing in your life that's going to give you the satisfaction that ultimately leads to your happiness. And I'm saying this as somebody who battled depression, and I was clinically depressed in my 20s for a good part of my 20s. And for me, the purpose that came into my life, it was my family. You know, losing one part of my family, my parents, led to me starting my own family. And that is the purpose that leads to my satisfaction and my happiness. And it's different for everybody. But you have to kind of get into this mindset of happiness is earned. It's not a right. You're going to walk around and think, where's my happiness? Where's my fair share? Why? It's not fair. Life isn't fair. No, life isn't fair. Do something about it. Get out there. Find your purpose. Find that satisfaction. You will find your happiness. I feel for ex-athletes, Gino. I mean, just hearing that Patrick Coletta bite from March.
Yeah. When he said that on our show, I think you and I were stopped dead in our tracks.
Well, our first thing is, are you okay?
Yeah.
Patrick, are you okay? You don't want to see the guys that you look up to, the guys that you cheer for, the guys that you invest in. You don't want to see them a shell of themselves once their playing days are done. But so many of them struggle with finding that new purpose and that satisfaction that leads to the happiness that everybody believes they're entitled to. And everybody is entitled to it, but it doesn't come for free. You have to do a little bit of work. You have to find that satisfaction.
There's a lot in that interview to react to. I'm going to react to one thing. How dumb is Gary Bettman? I mean, what? You're just going to kick the can down the road on this? There's no connection. Oh, okay. Dr. Gary Bettman. Thank you very much, Doc.
He's got some lawyers giving him some advice.
Mm-hmm.
Let the NFL take their lumps and maybe we can get by. So at some point. At some point, the NHL is going to have to deal with the issue. And listen, I know you can't compare the NFL and the NHL in terms of how much head trauma is delivered on a per-game basis. Anybody who watched Game 6 last night, I don't know if you saw this, Gene, but in the second period, Callahan got run.
Yeah.
And he made it over to the bench barely. He collapsed in front of the bench. And right when he did, it was almost like his body just gave out. And all I could think to myself is, oh, that guy's concussed. There's no way. Like, this, he just took a headshot, and he's so dazed right now, he can't even stand up on his skates.
Well, okay. So maybe that's one reason why Gary Bettman is scared for this. So then what would happen in the new NHL? Where if you have to adopt the NFL rules, we're gonna take the player off the ice right there in the eye in the sky. We'll say concussion protocol, get off the ice right now. And now all of a sudden you got to shift lines around. Well, the NHL doesn't want to. We like our own world we're in right now. Blah, 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 blah. We don't want to deal with that.
Well, there's been plenty of instances in the NHL, as in the NFL, where you hear about former players taking their lives far too soon. And it's a pretty significant pattern when you see it's the same type of player, too. It's the player that absorbed the majority of the head trauma, the goons.
Yeah, the enforcers.
The enforcers.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a little crazy for the NHL to take the stance that they've taken. At some point, I love that John threw out a line that I tell my kids all the time, the cover-up is worse than the crime. At some point, you're going to have to pay for that. And the NHL is going to get theirs. And I don't know what has to happen for them to recognize or see the correlation between the two. And the NFL might not be fair in how they're dishing out the payments from these settlements, but at least they've taken the step to having a settlement, to recognizing, yeah, we have a problem. Yeah, we've had a problem for quite some time.
Yeah.
That's a good piece tonight on HBO's Real Sports. Good get, Gino. John Frankel, correspondent for HBO's Real Sports.
Yeah, and if you were just jumping in at the end of this and maybe you heard whispers, John Frankel went to Syracuse. John Frankel was friends with Chris Gedney. That's going to be addressed in the show tonight, but out of respect to the Gedney family and out of respect to John, we are not going to go into that at all.
And an investigation that, according to Syracuse police, is still open.
Correct.
So
we got to kind of back off on that, as you can understand, but that's part of the story tonight, too, on this. And for John, that's, yeah, it's personal tonight, and again, that's 10 o'clock tonight on HBO.
If you missed it, we'll get that conversation for you on demand shortly here at ESPNRochester.com. Coming up next in the Sports Bar, let's play I'll Drink to That. Compelling thoughts from around the world of sports. You can agree or disagree. We always love when you join us at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. And then we'll talk some Buffalo Bills in the 4 o'clock hour as well with WGR's Sal Capaccio. OTA starting today. Good time to have Sal come on and let us know what we should be looking for and what kind of camp battles we can be anticipating as we move through the off-season workout programs and OTAs and head into training camp at St. John Fisher. Stand by for Sal in just a few. Stay in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.